I walk every or run every Saturday, and that's what I listen to. So it's what's
always
what
interesting
that?
To hear those guys debate.
Well,
you guys haven't heard the All In podcast?
No, when you say All In, I think about is the chin straps on Clemson's football team.
Yeah, we don't really follow them around here.
I know. And I was pretty sure that wasn't what you
were. That was a few years ago. They were a big deal, Rob.
I know, but that's all you were referring to. By the way, Donnie's wearing a Georgia like three-quarter zip, so you know where his allegiances lie. Anyway, I'll research it myself. All right, Lauren, you want to hit the next question?
Okay. Yes, of course. So first of all, on the Atomic Habits, huge fan. Love the idea of just being better than the version of yourself you were the day before. I love that. But most memorable moment in staffing or in your career, most memorable moment.
Oh, this is a good one.
I know.
In between my, staffing roles, I did executive search actually in the staffing industry.
Okay.
And I had, this is about, I spent about a year and a half doing this in between roles. I had made you got to realize I was just working a full desk myself, so very limited. I placed a COO at what we'll call a top 10 staffing firm.
Okay.
In the States, been 10, 15 years ago.
Kind of
the
amazing.
The fee on this guy, we all know this from, if you've been in staffing, how this goes. Six-figure fee, and the day before he starts, my wife and I are going to dinner. His number pops up on my phone. I knew exactly what it was. I go back in the house, send her to dinner, and I lost six figures that day.
Oh.
So that, and he decided to take another job. So, yeah, it's like those type of moments, I think, that really define who you are in this industry and create the grit that's necessary to succeed, right? We all have those stories.
Yeah, the punch to the gut stories. For sure.
Right?
We'll have the punch to the gut story.
You told me that story before, Donnie, so I was like...
Oh, it was one of those where... it took me a few days to recover.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll say, yeah, it did take a few days.
That would have made for a year, right? Like, you've been done working for the year, possibly.
No, but yeah.
No, but yes. Yeah, we've all punched that story. And you're right. It does, they really, the word that you used, Joyce Russell uses that word all the time. And I think it is such a good definition for people that continue to kind of come back to this industry time and time again. You know, there are a ton of veterans sitting on this podcast right now and a ton of veterans listening to us. And the word, I think, that defines many of us, regardless of our education, where we came from, is grit. Like, we just persevere and we just keep going and we just keep coming back. And yeah, so I think that's why we all connect in some way, shape, or form, again, regardless of the walks of life we come from, which is kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, right. And it's a very relatable story that, like you say, everyone in this industry has had that happen. Yeah. Maybe tell.
All right, next one. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, this one's a good one. I like that you told like a failure as your greatest moment in staffing, because we're going to ask you what your greatest failure is as well.
Oh, my greatest failure. I kind of go back, and Rob, we talked about this earlier, this never win alone, never lose alone concept. And for me, I enjoy sales because I enjoy building great teams, whether it's been at staffing or whether it's just been here at Bullhorn. It really is. That's where I get true satisfaction out of. And I remember many years ago, this was early in my career, I had to fire someone for performance. And, especially coming out of a military career, kind of those things, kind of used to those things. But I remember someone saying to me as I was firing them, they were legitimately shocked. I mean, they were shocked. And I knew at that moment I had failed as a leader.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for someone to be naive after expectations have been laid out. But it's another thing for someone really not to understand that they were not doing what I needed them to do or what the business needed them to do. We often say Bullhorn's here.
or need you here and you're here. Like that's the sort of stuff that we want to help people with. And I think that was the greatest failure is just not setting expectations with the team. And as a leader, I want to be a leader who people clearly understand, hey, here's the expectations, and that, you know, my team or leaders are on board to help me get there or help me understand that maybe I need to go find something a little bit different where I can use my skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good one.
That's fair. It's a good one. Yeah. I
almost think every leader may have struggled with that in some way, shape, or form. You know, it's not easy to be the person that may be in charge of somebody else's fate. And, you know, with that great power comes great responsibility. And part of that responsibility is clear set expectations and, you know, active listening. Do you understand? And those types of things. And when we haven't done that, and I think it's happened to every leader, it's super disappointing. So I can relate to that for sure. I can relate to that for sure. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So now we have the most important question. It's the most divisive question.
Oh, well.
That we ask. Are you a dog person or a cat person?
Oh, definitely a dog. Right? That's easy.
Now, you got a couple dog lovers here. So, but we love our cat lovers too, but we happen to be partial to the.
Yeah, so man. My dog passed away a year and a half ago. Labrador Retriever. I've had Labrador Retrievers, raised them growing up, you know, all my life. And you guys will appreciate this. His name was Chipper, named after the great Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones. So avid Braves fan. So love dogs.
Love it. And the lab's so big, fluffy ears, and just so cute. All right. Enough of our getting to know Donnie.
Okay?
Yeah. No, I know a little dog. I'm such a sucker for a puppy. I was showing Mr. Jones pictures of puppies yesterday. He was like,
"You have get it. Six like, dogs."
Yeah.
Six.
Like 15 goats, 3 raccoons. Like
they're just so cute, and you know,
Lord, my marriage wouldn't survive more than one dog.
They live on a farm, in their defense, Donnie. So
we live on a farm, and you know, the raccoons came in the Donnie door last night. It was chaos. It was, you know, but it's chaos.
Have the raccoons brought an extra raccoon in yet? Because that's the day I'm excited.
They are pretty, like,
they became a gang.
No, they're like the two best friends that they ever did have. Luna Tuna and Nugget are just, they're just the best. Luna and Nugget. Yeah, they love each other.
We have Justin Timbergoat, don't forget.
Yeah, Justin Timbergoat. Got the whole cast and crew of Breaking Bad in there. I've got one actually named after Mike Walden from Bullport. He was my biggest, whitest
dog. Interesting.
His name's Mike.
Interesting. Oh, what an honor.
What an honor.
Kind of is. I don't have a goat named after me, nor does Mr. Jones.
That's good. If he hears this, I'm sure he'll laugh.
I know, right? Okay, well, we have some information to cover, which I am always excited when the Bullhorn Grid Survey comes out. And it is chock full of some good information this year.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Ryan.
Well, we'll just do a quick rundown. So obviously every year Bullhorn does the industry trends report, and then they have the talent trend. Just to kind of run through, last year the top priority for 2023 was finding new clients, which was the first time that it wasn't finding candidates in like 10 or 12 years. So that was super interesting. This year I'll give you the top four, and then we can just jump into some insights. So number one, looks like the biggest takeaway, right, is high-performing firms are focusing on productivity and efficiency. I think Lauren and I said the word of the year is optimization. A couple episodes ago. So Pee-wee's Playhouse, word of the year. Top performers are deliberately investing in talent experience. Yes, you got to create incredible experiences for people.
That's right.
If you didn't know that. I love Bullhorn's, their job is to create an incredible customer experience. Still remember that, still see it vividly in my, you know, my mind picture that I have of the lobby of the front office whenever I go in there. Number three, top performers are experimenting with AI for rote tasks. I love that. I don't like doing rote anything, so get them out of my way. And number four, gaining new clients in a tough economy is a top priority. So that moves down to number four, which is, I'm actually really happy it's still in the top four, by the way. It could be, you know, top three. But it's cool to see that efficiency, because it's something that we talk about on this podcast all the time, and experience, because the podcast is literally called the You Own the Experience Podcast. Hint, hint. Why did we do that? I don't know. And then top performers are, and I love the choice of the word experimenting with AI, because that's what we've been promoting. We're like, you don't have to have everything solved yet. You just need to get your big toe in there and just kind of figure out what's going on. So with that kind of broad overview that I just gave, let's jump to some of the key things that we want to talk about today. So Lauren, I'll kick it to you.
So I loved, there are a couple statistics that I wrote down, and we were talking about them in the pre-call. But 69% of firms reporting 10% plus revenue growth place candidates in less than 20 days. And this is a metric that we have been talking about for quite some time on the podcast. And, you know, I've often said we need to stop with this view to apply, because it doesn't end there. It should be view to check. And how do we squish the time frame from view to check down as much as possible? So, I mean, do you want to expand on that, Donnie? Because I think that we have the wrong, A, we have the wrong metric, but B, you know, part of experience is expeditiousness, right? Particularly today.
Yeah. And if I could go back a little bit, just one of the things that we saw in the grid survey is we talked to, you know, like I say, it was 1,400 plus customers. And really, the fact is that it's a tough economy out there, and firms still, right? But they're still increasing revenue, to your point, right? There's 10% we saw. So what we really wanted to do out of this is focus and really give the industry some information on what are the highest performers doing. Mm-hmm. And as you look at this, you know, days to placement, I think there's a couple of things in that. Is one, are my job orders, are they qualified, right? Do we have, and I think if you look at over the last year or so, we're seeing everyone really look at where they spend their time, where they spend their recruiting effort. But do we have a good, solid order that's qualified first and foremost? And the companies that are doing that best, they're spending their time and efforts allocating their resources to the right place, one. And then I think the second piece of that goes into what we see over and over again. These top performing firms, they're using automation. They're experimenting with AI. They've continued their digital transformation to really create that experience so that you're the first one to place. Reality of it is there's fewer job orders today, and you want to be the firm that actually delivers and wins that order. It's still a speed game, right?
Still a speed game. Customer. Yes.
Well, you have.
And I think it's not just that view to check and that speed, but are you responding? So there are a couple of things that you said there that I think are wicked cool. So AI can help with job descriptions, right? So job descriptions is the first impression of who your organization is. And so a qualified job description, that's really important that your rep has qualified it, but that it's well written, so it's a good representation of the business, is huge. And your allocated resources. So we do a lot, you know, with optimization being a part of the conversation this year, organizations are saying, how can I do more with what I already have? Not just from technology, but from their internal resources. So are they aligned appropriately? And then this whole idea of experimentation with automation, with AI. I mean, if you are not going through your business processes and determining, do I have to have a human being on this task? Can I either automate it or apply some component of AI to it to get a better, faster, stronger response, then you need to go through that and map those opportunities out. And that is true optimization when you're looking in those three areas, I think. That's brilliant.
I think this is a good way to segue too from what I'm thinking about that you said, Donnie, is that qualifying the job, right? And you're always qualifying the job, even if you got the full job rec, air quotes. I know you can't see me. So, you know, you get on, you send the first person, you got to qualify some more to make sure that it's, you know, you, like I love Kendra Cato, and we had a conversation one day recently, and she was like, the number one thing I do when I get on a call with somebody is ask them, has anything changed since the last time we've talked? And that is a re-qualifying question at any time, right? So as we kind of get to this next part of the conversation where we're talking about sales, right? A good sales training, a good sales practice is to always keep re-qualifying every time you talk to or get a chance to have a touch point with that person. And then obviously, if you feel like the quality of the job has changed, you got to change the number of resources assigned to it, because we know that the fastest growing firms spend their time on jobs that are going to close or that are going to produce, right? So what do we see in terms of sales, Donnie? I know we wanted to talk about this part and focusing on finding new recs. And obviously, having been a sales leader as long as you have, I'm sure you have lots of good tidbits and insights right now.
Well, it's interesting. Lauren and I were talking about this a few weeks back, but the industry as a whole, when I've been in the staffing industry now with 25 years, and you know, historically you came into this industry and we had this really aggressive sales DNA. It was just in every organization. Mm-hmm. There was one thing we were really sales oriented. And we learned how to lead it, teach it. And most of board, our clients are typically entrepreneurs who are led by these people. It's who I enjoy selling to. But I feel like some of that DNA over the last few years, we've lost that, right? And now we're seeing it, and sales has changed. Very different when I started in, you know, 2000, where you used your book of lists and you made the cold calls. It just doesn't work that way anymore. And we're the best firms, these high performing firms, is one, they're focused on that sales DNA. Mm-hmm. Like they own that. That's something core to their organization, or they're reestablishing that. And then two, they're embracing the new techniques with automation to make sure that you're not dialing through the book of lists, right? And using those automations to make sure that you've got good outreach and sales automation. Those are the things that we're seeing them go land new customers, right? The customers that are growing the most are the people who are landing new customers.
Yeah.
And pushing their people and not afraid to make people uncomfortable, right? Right now, our sales engine in the staffing industry needs to be uncomfortable. And that's is really fun to see, you know, us kind of get that orientation back a little bit. I don't know. Are you guys seeing anything differently related to that?
No, you're spot on. I think creating a sales culture, right? Just like anything else that you want to focus on when we're talking about referrals, you can't go buy a referral technology until you have a referral culture, until you've taught that this is the question that we ask at the end of every conversation is who else do you know, right? Then it has to be something that you live and breathe. And then sales is no different. And, you know, we got really good during COVID at being order takers. I've talked about this before. And in a more challenging environment, we definitely had to sharpen our sales, our sales skills. They were definitely underutilized and under leveraged. And I think some were hurt, you know, as we came into 2023, and things didn't go as we had planned. So I think some have recovered. Those that are growing and those that have client growth are the ones that were able to pivot, lean into that sales culture, reignite that sales culture, and then hold people accountable. And I think that's the dirty word that nobody wants to talk about when it comes to sales, is when you have a culture of sales, but when you have a culture of accountability, it's even, you know, you can get even in bigger results, wouldn't you say?
Yep. It's a team.
But I would also say some of it is strategic allocation, mm-hmm. right? As you look at the industry as a whole, we've always moved our ratios from sales and recruiting as the economy sure. changed.
Yep.
Well, what I would tell you where that's different now is, yes, we need to be thinking about what that allocation looks like. But with automation today and marketing automation, there's the ability to really empower our sales teams in a way that it isn't just adding X number of sales heads, but is making sure that our salespeople have the correct tools to enable them. And those are synced up. Those two strategies are synced up, which really gives you more productivity per salesperson. We're seeing that over and over again. And the companies that really embrace that are the companies that, I mean, they're going to take market share. Yeah. Like if in the staffing industry today, you want to be the company that says, hey, this is an opportunity. We're going to go take some market share.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, and Rob and I predicted this both last year and this year, M&A was going to continue to just go bing, 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 bing on SIA. And I don't think we've gone a day in the SAA news or ASA news where we haven't seen a merger and acquisition come across the news line. And I think it's going to remain as such. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's always fun to see. Right?
Yes. And it makes
me these couple challenge.
It's spicy. Keeps you spicy. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about experience because one of the stats that I saw, the percentage was the one that sort of took me back. It was that 86% of those high performers have self-service tool. What is your first perception of this this statistic?
Well, I think it's, if you go back to this notion of digital transformation that we've heard for years, right? You get all these buzzwords. There was the blockchain, there was digital transformation, and now there's AI. There's AI everything, right?
Sure.
Tech stack, like all of these words, right? And you kind of look at this, but it is the firms who have really invested in that digital transformation so that, one, the way your prospects, the way your candidates, all those different contacts are coming in, it's just expected to, the way that my daughter does things, very different than the way that I do things, even the way that I do them today, I'm expected to have a certain level of interaction with a company and staffing firms that I think get that or, you know, they've seen real gains because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you think about self-service, it's the way that I apply for a job. It may be the way that I'm served up jobs and opportunities. Obviously, as we retention, huge opportunity in our industry is why do we keep recruiting people over and over again when we have perfectly great talent we could deploy? And that's something that we at Bullhorn are really trying to help the industry, how we solve, you know, that problem. So I think about it in all those instances.
Yes. I look at this and I think, everything that you said, right? We get a lot of buzzwords. And I think that there are three statistics that are related to that. 86% have self-service tools. 57% with revenue growth have an AI strategy. Early adopters see revenue advantages. Those are all related to one another. And that is investing in your second largest investment for any firm, which is going to be your technology, right? Second only to your most important, which is your people. So I think and that's why this optimization is a part of it as well. But I think it's listening to the consumers that have now, the consumerism has entered into the job market. We've talked about this kind of ad nauseum and the way we look for jobs has changed. They want control. They want jobs served up and recommended to them. They mm-hmm. want immediate communication. They want to have control. They want shift scheduling. They want to know what they're going to be doing tomorrow. And I think firms, again, that, you know, it all goes back to what is that second largest investment doing for you? Is it creating the experience that's providing control of somebody's future? And I think that's where it kind of comes. That's what it comes down to, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. The number is 86%, but I would say as you look at that 86% number, how much of that is just the penetration of it is very, very shallow, right? Like there's so much of an opportunity to continue to invest in those tools and Sometimes it's not so much invest as it is to, it's more on the execution level, right?
Just use it. Just use it.
Correctly. Yep. So guys, what I find fascinating, and I was just listening to this, thinking about this, Lauren, as you were saying that, is think about all the people who've been laid off in the last year plus, right? And they've all been applying for jobs. And every time someone applies for a job, how often we see on LinkedIn complaining about getting zero responses, mm-hmm. even though they applied through a LinkedIn or through an Indeed, like, you know, it. And I think, Donnie, that goes back to what you were just like, what you finished with is like HR tech, Bullhorn, we, and like automation and any kind of technology has the ability to auto respond to people, at least to give them a touch point and get them somewhere. Or, you know, going with AI now, right? We know there's tools, Lauren, that, and Donnie, that will have a whole conversation, right? Our buddy Rod, who we had just had on 2 weeks ago, Glide Talent, will have that whole conversation for you. And apparently you'll share more with the AI bot than you will with a human at first. Fascinating, by the way.
That's a fascinating statistic. And I would not have thought that to be true. Honestly, I would not have thought that to be true.
So I think we go back. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think, right, all these tools, the point is to enable human interaction, not to limit it. I think that's the thing to keep in mind.
Yes.
Because I talk to so many of our clients day in and day out, and the ones who they have great relationships, both with, you know, clients and candidates. Those are the customers that also are excelling. And these tools are not meant to diminish those, but meant to accelerate and exaggerate those.
Yep. So let's use that as another transition to this last point we wanted to hit. And I'll cue this one up with a quick story. Like I shared with you guys in the pre-call, and we'll spare names, but 2020, the SIA Exec Forum was in Miami Beach. So March, I live in Miami. So I drove over to the Fountain Blue, and there's about 8 or 9 people there that showed up for the conference before everything got canceled that week, right?
Yeah.
So we had one dinner, and I admittedly got a little intoxicated, and I was talking to someone that I sold Herefish to, and this person was like, we can't automate stuff because we're high touch.
Love that.
And I like, this is where the intoxicated part comes in. And I was like, I want to call you on that because that's a bunch of crap. You can totally stay high touch, but also use automation effectively. And I mean, so it's funny, as I saw him in like late 2021 at a conference or whenever we went to like the next conference. And he was like, Rob, I want you to know I hired an automation person, like a marketing person who's running automation. And we've grown because we have better automations running and we stayed high touch. And I was like, yes. So we want to cover this idea, this misunderstanding that using automation is not like, if you're a high touch firm, you can't use automation. I'm going to call that crap again, PC as much as possible. I'm not intoxicated right now. But Donnie, I want to ask you, I'm sure you hear the same. And how do we get past this misconception or misunderstanding?
Yeah, it's, you know, how do we get past it? So you look at the high performing firms here. I'm just going to make a, you know, I'll just guess here, but right, they have effective leadership. Mm-hmm. And these things are driven by the executive team in these companies, that it has to be a strategic objective. It has to be something that's funded. And, you know, that has people dedicated to it, is measured, it's like SMART goals, right? Mm-hmm. In the way that we measure, we would rather measure a seller or a recruiter or any of those people. So when we do that, we have good leadership around it. That's when I think you see adoption. That's when it starts to impact the culture even, right?
I think that's interesting. So the way I explain it, Donnie, is what the leadership team pays attention to creates part of the culture. So, right, like you're a revenue leader, you clearly pay attention to the number for your team every day, right? And you know what it is, and you
every
know
night.
And you know what the pipeline is, and you have other leaders that are paying attention to it. So very simply said, like, we pay attention to revenue growth and weighted pipeline, so we our teams know that that's important to us, right? We pay it. So right now we just migrated CRMs. So we're selling through a new CRM and I am paying attention to it very closely. And I can see my team using it, right? So, and then when we say, hey, we're going to start adding new contacts and doing more research, I'm going to pay attention to it. And I think it's like where the attention goes, by the way, jujitsu and wrestling thing, if you make someone's head move, the rest of their body is coming with it. So making the transition, the metaphor there, if the leadership's head moves and is focused on something, the body, the team will probably go with it.
I love
that. And the nice thing is that the talent is on the market. As you kind of continue to bring that in, develop them, it gets easier. It's the initial change management that's the most difficult part. Is that fair, Lauren? I mean, you
change management every day.
You talk to these people every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about change management every day. And it's, I think, the big misnomer, and this is where I'm trying to change and inspire hearts and minds, is, you know, training and adoption is not a one-hit wonder. This is something that you have to invest every single day into. And, you know, firms that think, okay, well, I'm implementing Bullhorn, so I have Bullhorn come in and do one training and ta-da, everybody's trained. No. This is something where you're going to have to do the first training and the second, and every week they're going to learn something new, and every month they're going to learn something new, and then check it out. Bullhorn's going to upgrade something or change something, then there's going to be something new from there. And that's where I think we get sideways, is we don't commit to this. This is like drinking water, to do it every single day in order to get good at. But I think what we learned here, the most important thing, is Rob does his best consulting when he's tipsy.
After all that, honey, how do you do selling at the bar? Anyway, well, let's not answer that question. But Lauren, as by the way, as the person who doesn't drink, I know you sell very well at the bar. And
I do. I do. Nobody ever remembers, but I do.
Yeah, I'm usually. Yeah. Anyway, unrelated. Donnie, this has been great, man. Any takeaways from the grid that you want to highlight that we missed? Want to do like a little rapid fire, a couple of bullets that you think people should be focused on, or anything you want to share about the report?
Well, just kind of going back to, right, stay the course. So many firms out there, as you kind of get into turbulent times, it's the question, okay, what's important? Yes, let's make sure that we're sales focused. Continue down that digital transformation. It's a strategic objective. You got to continue there. And whether you're a Bullhorn customer or whether you're not, right? And looking at that. And then the other thing is, which we didn't get into, I know you have discussed this on other podcasts, but AI, what that actually looks like. You know, experiment with that. We're investing tons here at Bullhorn, about to release a product, trying to add value to our customers around that. It's something, you know, we're going to see how this works, right? There's a lot of experimentation. And I would tell you that most of what you see today is nothing more than experimentation. How it actually adds value long-term, we're going to figure that out over the next year. But go along on that journey, right? That's important.
Yes.
And I think in doing so, it's, you know, continue to build talent pipelines. Like, let's don't forget, a lot of times in the industry, we swing from one avenue, one side to the other too quickly and too extreme. So the things that we've invested in the last couple of years, those are things that are going to be important for us to differentiate, or for you to differentiate your firms. And we appreciate everybody that participated in the grid report. It's always awesome to get that. Go into it. I encourage everyone to dig into the details, get your own takeaways. And I know at Engage this year, we'll be discussing some of these things. So a lot of breakouts. And lastly, I'd encourage, if you haven't registered for Engage, whether you're a Bullhorn customer or not, love to see you there.
If you're not, be there or be square.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Donnie, this has been fantastic, man. Appreciate it. Always appreciate having you on and getting a chance to shoot it, shoot the proverbial with you. So
Yeah. Always great talking with y'all.
Thanks,
man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.